Well, good morning again. He is risen.
Amen.
I love it. Easter is not just a celebration once a year, but we get to celebrate the risen Lord all the time, every day. And so there is some evidence of our celebration. Last week, you will see this probably for about a year until we, I mean, people have been here cleaning all week, I promise. It's just, it's everywhere. But so if you find confetti, Stephanie Gable is paying $1 a piece for confetti. You bring it to her and she'll give you some money for it. But we're excited to start a new series today on Ecclesiastes. We've been on this journey since the beginning of the year to the ocean of God's wisdom. If you remember our metaphor of the rivers of Scripture that lead us to the ocean of God's wisdom. And so today we're really excited to have Jeff Adler here to help us open this series on Ecclesiastes. He is a rabbi. He is a Christian, a follower of Jesus, a brother in Christ. And I think you're going to enjoy hearing from him today. And so also he likes people. So if you want to come and talk to him afterwards, he will probably enjoy meeting you and learning your name. So without further ado, Jeff.
Thank you, Adam. It's the first time I've ever been introduced to the bird by the birds, you know. So I guess that means I'm for the birds. My last name means eagle in German, so maybe there's some connection there. But he said, I like people. Doesn't necessarily mean people like me. So anyway, I'll do my best. I tell you what, you know, as you do, when you get up in front of groups and you speak to groups, you see people going through all kinds of interesting contortions. And each person has his own style. Some people do this. And some people do this, and some people look really spiritual. They hide behind their Bible and go, yeah. Because when we were kids, they taught us, never allow a speaker to see us yawn. Because if he sees us yawn, he'll think that we think he's boring. We might really think that, but we don't want him to know it, so we hide it. I know that the real reason that people yawn is they just need more oxygen. So I want you to feel free to yawn at any time while I'm speaking, and to prove to you that I'm serious about it, on the count of three, let's all yawn together, okay? One, two, three. Some of you are looking like you're a little suspicious. You think it's a trick and that Pastor Adam's got a hidden camera somewhere. He's going to look for the yawners, but I'm serious about it. Let's do it again. One, two, three. Yeah. That's right. So you just feel free to yawn. I will not be insulted at all. All right. Well, good morning and shalom. Oh, you can do better than that. Shalom. Much, much better. That means peace. It means well-being. We use it for hello, and we use it for goodbye. And some people think the reason we use the same word for hello and goodbye is because we don't know if we're coming or going. But anyway, let's pray, okay? God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, we come to you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And we thank you that we have your word, that you speak to us. You're still talking to us. And so, Lord, we ask you, Father God, that you will speak to me. The people really not here this morning to listen to me. We're here to hear from you. And so we ask you, Lord, to put your words into my mouth. Cause us to have open ears and minds and hearts to be receptive to what you have to say, so that your words are heard above my words and your voice above my voice. And we pray this, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, amen. Now, but by the way, I'm accustomed to calling Jesus by his Hebrew name because Joseph didn't speak English or Spanish. And so when the angel came to him in Matthew 1, he said that Mary's going to have a baby, Miriam's going to have a baby, and you will call his name Yeshua, which means salvation, for he shall save his people from their sins. So if I mention that name, I'm not referring to another Savior, okay? It's the same one. I'll be honest, a lot of people are not terribly excited about Ecclesiastes, and the reason is they're aware of this very, very famous line, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, all is emptiness and striving after wind. And they say, sounds like a depressing book to me. I don't know, I want to read it. Well, it's not really a depressing book. And I think as we get into this first chapter, we'll talk a little bit about why Solomon says what he says. The Hebrew name for Ecclesiastes is, and it's kind of a fun word to say, Kohelet. Kind of rolls off the tongue. Kohelet. Everybody say Ko. You don't even need me to space it. You guys are Hebrew scholars already. Kohelet. It means the assembler. As a matter of fact, you might be aware that in the books of Moses, Moses would assemble the congregation of Israel. That Hebrew word for congregation was kahal. It's like a big assembly. And so he is the assembler, and he describes himself here. It says here, it says the words of Kohelet, or the preacher, or the teacher, or the assembler, the convoker, son of David, king in Jerusalem. And that's important for us to know, because as the king, as an absolute king, he has everything anybody could want. That's really what this book is about, because our culture is always trying to define what we should be wanting in life, what our goals should be, what our purpose should be, that we should want fame or lots of money or the best vacations or a dream house or a certain kind of car, a certain kind of spouse and certain kinds of friends, certain kinds of trips and popularity, all the kinds of, and there's nothing especially wrong with any of those things. But Solomon is going to go on and he's going to test all those things. Do they really satisfy life? And ultimately the scriptures say that our ultimate definition, the one who defines our lives, is the one who created us. And in this first chapter, he's going to talk about it. And so let's get in. Havel, futile. It's actually a myth, a mist, or a fog. Havel, vanity. It's kind of hard to translate, but it's a mist, it's a fog. That here we are down here and we're trying to find some kind of way to find a purpose in life. And so he has the freedom and he has the resources to have the kinds of things everybody else dreams about, everything else that everybody else fantasizes about, and they may or may not be able to have them, but he has the freedom and the capacity to have them all. Even the things our moms and dads told us we should do. He has the freedom to do those things, and apparently he tried some of those things. And so he says, I've got to test life. I've got freedom. But when he became king, he also asked, Lord God, give me an understanding or discerning heart. And the word that he uses there is actually the Hebrew word shomea, literally a listening heart. He says, Lord, let me hear you. Let me hear your words. I've got a culture that people are always telling me. Sometimes they mean the right thing. Sometimes they're right, but a lot of times they're wrong. And I need to hear what you say, because there's a way that seems right. In chapter 14 of Proverbs and chapter 16 of Proverbs, he says, there's a way that seems right to a man, it seems upright, but the ends thereof, the afterwards of thereof are death. And Lord God, I need the good stuff. And so he says, completely everything is futile. What does a person gain in all his labor in which he toils? And this expression that occurs 29 times in the book, 29 times in the book, there is this expression, Tachat HaShemesh. Now, that's kind of a fun expression, too. Everybody say, Tachat. Yeah, you got to get that in there, okay? Tachat HaShemesh. That means under the sun. When somebody in a short book repeats a phrase like that 29 times, it must be important. Three more times, he uses the expression that means very much the same thing, Tachat HaShemayim. Let's all say that one. Tachat HaShemayim. That means under heaven. And so 32 times, he expresses the concept. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but what he says is that we are always looking, we're always determining what's important in life. We're gauging our life by what's going on the surface of the earth. What people say, what people think, what culture says. But the fact is that we need to look ultimately beyond ourselves. We need to look up toward to the one who created the sun, the one who created the skies, the one who created the cosmos, the one who created the stars and the galaxies. We need, our answers are there because he's the one who knows the answer. And Psalm 37:4, delight yourself. That verb actually means exquisite delight. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the mishalot, the desires of your heart. Actually, the word comes from the verb sha'al, to pray. And so he says, what does a person gain in all his labor that he toils under the sun? Now here we are, we're down here, we're working, and we're piling up material things, and we're accomplishing things. And then as we go through our lives, we begin to question, does it really satisfy my life? A generation comes, a generation goes, but the earth remains forever. He says, we come and go. And I remember when I was in high school, there was a group that had a hit song, and it was called the Class of 57. I don't know if any of you remember that song, but they talked about every graduation, probably everybody in this room, when you graduated, there was a speaker who said, your class is the hope of the future. You will change the world. How many of you heard that speech when you graduated? Yeah, sure. You either heard it in high school or college or both. As a matter of fact, I graduated from high school, from college, seminary. I heard the speech three times. We all do it. And yet, fact is, one generation comes and goes, one graduating class comes and goes, and the world stays the same. As a matter of fact, and to a certain extent, we're getting worse and worse. And mankind doesn't really change, but the earth remains forever. Why does the earth remain? Because it's what God did. Solomon is looking, he's comparing what God does, what God determines, and what mankind does. And so the earth remains the same. The sun rises, the sun sets, and hurries back to the place it goes. Mankind is born, he lives his life, he dies. And even if we're around for 1,000 years, we need to make sure, what are we doing that lasts forever? That is the standard of the book of Ecclesiastes. Real value is that which lasts forever. And we here this morning are in a partnership with God. Now, we don't last, our lives here only last for so long. Thankfully, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Chayim Olam. He gives us everlasting life. The things that last forever in our lives are the things that are done in partnership with God. That's what's forever. And so the sun becomes the reminder. The creation of God becomes the reminder. Because if we aren't in partnership with God, it is like some kind of cruel taunt that comes. You think you're doing something. There are, every year, they're finding cultures, civilizations, ruins of societies that once dominated the world. I've got a friend who's a professional archaeologist, and he's involved in a project. They think they may have found Noah's Ark, and so he's involved in that. But, you know, he's an archaeologist, and they discover cultures and societies that once dominated the world, and they're gone now. And that, sadly, that'll be true of the United States. That'll be said of us someday. And so he says, the wind goes toward the south and circles around to the north, round and round it swirls about, ever around, ever returning to its circuits. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they go again. All things are wearisome. No one can express them. The eye is never satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. There are all these things that come at us, and we can't really absorb them. And the things of God is just, we're just kind of flooded with some kind of tidal wave of experiences that are beyond us, and they keep coming, and we pass through them. And he says, the things of God are the things that keep, that last forever. And we're so temporary and so temporal. What has been is what will be, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new. There's that expression again. Let's all say it again. Tachat HaShemesh. Everybody, Tachat HaShemesh. Under the sun. Is there anything new about which is said, look, this is new? It was already here long ago. In the ages long before us, there is no remembrance for former things, and things yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. I often think of there are people that made an impact in my life. And now I struggle, all of a sudden I'll have a flashback. What was that person's name? And the memory fades. But you think of the people who once dominated the world. People who once dominated the world. It seems like as time passes, there are more names in history. And yet there are more names to be forgotten. We don't even think about them. When I lived in Washington, D.C., one of my favorite places to go was Arlington National Cemetery. And I was mobile back then. I used to walk along between the rows of gravestones. And I would read the names. And there were names you could tell nobody had been to visit those stones. No one had been to see those graves for a long, long time. At one time, they were impactful in the lives of people, but they've been forgotten, and nobody knows about them anymore. They've been forgotten. And so we sometimes con ourselves in thinking we're making this great impact, we're changing the world. And the Bible keeps calling us. God, in his love and his kindness, tells us, if you want to make an impact for eternity, you've got to partner with me. You've got to partner with me. So I, Kohelet, am king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my heart to seek and examine by wisdom, by chokmah. Chokmah was a very important concept for Solomon. It dominates Proverbs. It is the word wisdom, but in But in Proverbs, and really it undergirds the concept here, it is the wisdom of God. There's a practical wisdom that we have for how to apply. It's called prudence, binah, a lot of times by Solomon. But chokmah is the ultimate wisdom of God. I really need to make a way. I need to live a life that counts forever. If it lasts for 1,000 years, it's not enough. That real value in life is determined by that which lasts forever. And that's what Ecclesiastes is about. And as Pastor Adam takes you through this series, you're going to be talking about what in the world lasts forever. What can I do that really counts? And that's why, and I picked it up this morning in the service, there's a major emphasis in this church of living a life that counts forever. Not only having everlasting life, not just walking the streets of gold, that too, but living a life where when I'm on those streets, I'm part of a system that lasts forever, the glory of the kingdom of God, and I'm going there as a prince and a princess of the kingdom of heaven. I applied my heart to seek and examine by wisdom all that is done tachat hashamayim, under heaven. What a burdensome task God has given the sons of men. Or a tough task. It is a quizzical task which God has given the sons of men to keep them occupied. I have seen all the deeds done, tachat ha-shemesh, there it is again, under the sun. And behold, all is meaningless and chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What is missing cannot be counted. And he's talking about the fact that we really can't change. We try to find a way. The mountains are still there. We're not going. We can make a tunnel through the mountains, but the Himalayas are still there. The Andes and the Rockies are still there. The oceans are still there. The massive creations of God are still there, and we're not really going to change them. But they also reflect the great power of God and the steadfastness of God. And what God impacts in my life, what God places in my life is eternal. It counts forever. I spoke with my heart saying, I've grown rich and increased in wisdom more than any who were before me over Jerusalem. Indeed, my heart has experienced much wisdom and knowledge. So I applied my heart to know wisdom as well as to know madness and folly. I learned that this too was pursuit of the wind. He said, I determined to learn. I wanted to study. And if you read the description in Kings about Solomon and about how he gathered the best scholars around him and musicians, and he built parks and buildings, and he certainly built a harem. He had 1,000 wives. He said, I explored everything because I had that my subjects are fantasizing. They said, oh, if I only had the wealth and the freedom to be able to do the things that people dream about, to have the best cars, to have the best food, all those things, to get the best music. If only I could, he said, I've got the freedom. I can test all those things on their behalf. And so I determined that's what I was going to do. And he says, I found that there's frustration because with all my studies, I can never learn enough. I can never know enough. With much wisdom comes much grief. And whoever keeps increasing knowledge increases heartache. The more we come to know, the more we realize we haven't learned yet. And I remember when I decided to go to a seminary. I remember I was going to go and I was going to learn, and I found out that I just learned more questions. You know, the more I learned, the more questions I found out about. And so ultimately, because I find out that there's somebody who knows everything. And ultimately, the best thing is to have a relationship with God who will spend eternity. One of the things I find fascinating, Isaiah 9 is one of these great prophecies we hear in December. I'm going to bring this to a close, but it says, unto us a child is born, and that verb actually, it's in the pu'al stem, which means muscled into birth. It's like God knew that there were going to be all kinds of attempts to stop the birth of the Messiah. And so God said, I'm going to flex my arms and I'm going to force my son at the right time into birth. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Pele Yoetz El Gibor Aviad Sar Shalom, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Administrator of Well-Being. Of the increase, this is the part, of the increase of the government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. We'll hear candidates for the next few months saying, follow me and I'll keep the prosperity coming. But the increase of the government and peace, there will be no end. That God's kingdom keeps increasing. The benefits keep increasing. Only God can do that forever. And so God's going to be teaching us forever. You know, it will not be boring. I used to wonder, I would be praying and said, God, what's heaven like? It kind of sounds with all these portrayals of babies flying around with wings and so on. It sounded boring, certainly better than the alternative. But, you know, Lord, and the Lord kind of spoke to me when I was praying about it and spending time in his word. He said, when a parent plans a vacation for his children, the child can't think of, we're going to Disneyland, we're going to be traveling across Kansas and Nebraska. They can't comprehend all that. But they know, I know mom and dad, if they're planning this trip for us, it's got to be great. So he said, do you think I would do any less than that? And heaven is so great. And we're going to spend eternity learning from God at God's feet, the ultimate professor, and he's never boring, and you won't ever feel a need to yawn sitting at the feet of God. But here he says that in God's introduction to Qohelet, he says, want you to know that the ultimate value in life is found as you live a life in partnership with me. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in Adonai, and he will give you the mishalot, the desires of your heart, the prayers of your heart. God knows what makes you tick. And the only way you can find, when God planted, when he made us, he built into us, he wired us with drives and desires and prayers, not just for a dream car, a dream house, or a dream vacation, all those things, but the things that really matter and define who we are as people. And each of us is unique. And God says, you find out what those are in the context of a relationship with the Spirit of God, and you develop those in the context of a relationship with the Spirit of God, and that will continue through eternity. I'd like to close with a blessing from Numbers chapter 6. I'd like to chant it, and then like us all to say the English to each other, because we never bless each other enough, and we never get blessed enough. It's the one that goes, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Many of you might know that already, but I'd like to close by chanting that, and then I'd like us all to say the words to each other. And by the way, this isn't a prayer. It is actually God speaking to us, not our speaking to God. But when God told Moses to tell Aaron to always dismiss the people with these words, because they would come and they would confess their sins and make atonement by sacrifice, and God wanted them to know that he honors repentance, and when they went back home, he'd be going along too. Yevarechech Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Now let's all say the English to each other. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and grant you shalom, peace, in the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Stay here for just a second. So I totally relate to what you said. The more that we learn, the more questions we have. And so you have helped me develop some new questions today. So I really appreciate that. And you guys are going to get more singing from up here, but from your speaker. So look forward to that, because that was awesome. I enjoyed that very much. Just kidding. I'm not going to sing. But so this has been a great introduction to our series, and we're so blessed to have Jeff here. So again, if you get a chance to come and say hi, I'm sure he would love to meet you. But we're going to stand and be dismissed. Would you stand? And as I close with prayer, if you'll just let this truth kind of wash over your heart, that what matters in life is what lasts forever. And that's a question that we get to ask and wrestle with, is what does that mean? What kind of things last forever that I'm supposed to be pursuing and engaged in life? So let's pray. God, thank you so much for the time in worship and in your word this morning. We're just humbled and grateful that you meet us here, that you're with us, and that you teach us, and you're patient as we learn. And as we think about how to live lives that make a difference for eternity, God, would you show us how to explore that in your kingdom in ways that bring a smile to your face and are a blessing to the people around us, and help us to find pathways to pursue eternal living.
Yes, Lord.
And we look forward to how you're going to use that in us and through us to be a blessing to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for being here. You are sent to be salt and light in a world that desperately needs Christ. God bless you.